Please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, page 1220 in your Schofield Reference Bible. We'll be reading three verses here, and then we'll turn to another passage for three more verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 through 13. The 13th verse is the text verse. We'll read these verses in unison. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God? Let's begin together, please, with verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Turn now to the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, page 1294 in your Schofield Bible. The 4th chapter of Hebrews. And we'll be reading verses 14 through 16, the 15th verse being another of the text verses. Let's read together. Ready? Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for our church. We're thankful for the people who are faithful and loyal, and for the folks who are here this morning, and those who visit with us, and those who've come back home for a visit. It's just wonderful being a part of this family, and it is family. We thank you for our preacher. We pray for thy help for him today as he, of course, gives us something from thy word, and how we thank you for your word. What a gift, and what a blessing, and what a joy is ours. And we praise thee in Jesus' name. Amen.
I said in a sermon several times around the country, preaching is one doubter talking to many doubters, trying to convince us all to have faith. This morning, my message is addressed to two groups of people, which will include all of us. I'm speaking this morning first to the leaders. I want to give an encouragement to the pastors, assistant pastors, parents, principals, administrators, teachers, and those in places of leadership, employers, if you please. Then this morning I want to address the followers to explain to you the humanity of your leaders. Our text this morning was, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That word temptation is a big word. It means more. It means being tempted to do wrong. But it means far more than that. It means testing, sorrows, heartaches. A few weeks ago, Dr. Lee Robertson stood behind this pulpit and preached. Every testing, every fear, and every doubt that you felt, he's felt. That encourages me. Dr. John Rice, one of my heroes. Every temptation I've had, he had. Every burden I felt, he felt. And by the way, one of our texts this morning said, even Jesus, in all points, tempted like as we. What does that mean? That testing. That means the doubts that you have. There were times when in the flesh Jesus had those doubts. It was Jesus who said, if it be possible, let this cup pass for me. Let me talk to you this morning on the subject, the analysis of a leader. I hope you'll listen carefully. Father, bless me as I speak, and bless the people as they hear. And may there be this morning a peace that comes to the heart of those who lead and an understanding to the heart of those who follow. And help me to be used of God today. Amen. This is not a new statement at all. An old one, often used. I'm always looking for what you need. I'm searching constantly for truths in this book that will give you what you need. I realize this morning that there are many of you that just barely made it till today. I mean, you just almost limp in here. You need somebody to encourage you, somebody to help you get strong, somebody to help you get more faith. And I'm always searching for things that will help you. Please listen to me. I've diligently prepared my heart and my message. I deserve you to listen to me while I'm speaking this morning. I was at O'Hare Field buying a USA Today paper, my favorite paper. I was buying a USA Today paper, and there it was. A little thing that you put on the refrigerator door. It sticks there. It was up there on a little board, and there it was. Leadership is the ability to hide your panic from others. I said, somebody's written my biography here. I loved it. I never forgot it. I decided to buy it. Leadership is the ability to hide your panic from others. I thought about my mother on a Monday morning when she and my daddy called me into the front room. And mother said, your daddy is leaving today. I said, Daddy, why? Mother said, he's leaving because of liquor and other things. I got on my knees at the door as a boy and said, Daddy, wouldn't you rather have me than a bottle of whiskey? My daddy cursed, stepped across my body, kneeling before him, and went out of our house, never to come back. That night, I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried. And my mother came back to the little tiny room, about 6 by 8, where I slept, our little apartment. She sat down beside my bed and she said, son, everything's going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. Son, God's going to take care of us. Everything is going to be all right. And then I remember I went to her bed during the night. I wanted to sleep with mother because I was scared. When I got to her room, she was on her knees beside the bed, crying. Oh God, what will we do? What will we do? Leadership is the ability to hide your panic from others. I thought about coming upon a famous preacher one time while he was praying. And as he prayed, if I called his name, he's one of your heroes. I came upon while he's praying, and I heard him pray this prayer. Dear God, I don't know what to do. That preacher that night went into the pulpit and tried to encourage people. But that day he said, oh God, I don't know what to do. I thought about Dr. Rice at the bottom when he was under attack like few men have ever been under attack in America. I thought about him when I said, Dr. Rice, what are you going to do? And Dr. Rice, for the only time I ever heard him say this, he said, I don't know. Leadership is the ability to hide your panic from others. I thought of Dr. Robertson, who for 1 year, most of you don't know this, years ago, probably 20 years ago or more, Dr. Robertson's pastor at Highland Park Baptist Church lost his voice. Couldn't preach. For one solid year, he made the announcements, but within 5 minutes after he started talking, totally lost his voice. I remember how he went from doctor to doctor, hospital to hospital, specialist to specialist, trying to find somebody to help him. Leadership is the ability to hide your panic from others. I thought of walking into my pastor, Dr. J.C. Sizemore, my pastor. I thought about walking into his office one day, and he did not know I was there. I walked in his office, and he was in a battle in the church, and some of the folks were trying to get rid of him. And I heard him as he cried. I saw him weeping uncontrollably. I couldn't understand that. But this morning I want to tell you that your mother has the same apprehensions that you have. And your father has the same fears that you have. Well, you say, Brother House, what's the difference? I'll tell you in a few minutes what the difference is. But I want to tell you, I have the same testings that you have. I have the same burdens that you have. I have the same fears that you have. I have the same doubts that you have. And by the way, so did Lee Robertson, Dudley Robertson, and so did John Rice, and so did Billy Sunday, and so did Dwight L. Moody, and so did Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And so have all the great saints who've ever lived. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. I remember walking to the pulpit, and I hate to even tell you about this. 10 days before the last payment was due for Howells Anderson College. The price of the college was $2.5 million. We'd leased it for 18 months for $300,000. Had 18 months to raise $2.5 million. And by the way, $2.5 million is a lot of money right now, but it was 10 times that much back in those days. We had raised $1.2 million. We had to raise $1.3 million. It's 10 days. In 18 months and 17 months and 20 days, we'd raised $1.2 million, and we had to raise $1.3 million in 10 days. I remember calling our deacons together on a Wednesday night. And I said, fellas, looks like we're not going to be able to raise our money. Looks like that we can't save our campus. But I know a college in Ypsilanti, Michigan, a Baptist college, that has just a few days to raise $80,000 or they'll have to close the doors. They'll foreclose. And I said, we can't save our college because we don't have half enough money. But I said, there's a college we can save. And I said, I'm recommending we take $80,000 out of our money and send it to save that college in Ypsilanti, Michigan. I'll never forget Wells Walker, vice president of this Hoosier Bank over here. The building over here is named after him. Wells Walker stood up in that chapel, and we're talking about a vice president of a bank. He was a deacon. And he said, gentlemen, what the pastor said doesn't make any sense at all. He said, I'm a businessman. I'm a banker. We need $2.5 million, and a pastor stands up there and suggests that we give $80,000 away. Doesn't make any sense at all. And then the old fellow, one of the best men I ever met, tears began to stream down his eyes, but he said, if our preacher thinks that's what we ought to do, I make the motion that we do it. And this church voted that night to give $80,000 to save a college. And praise God, within 10 days, we had the $1.3 million plus the $80,000. And Howells Anderson College today is debt-free to the glory of Almighty God. But I remember that night, Wednesday night, when I went home, I got in the car and drove around. And I said, dear God, what are the people going to think? Lose the campus. What are the people going to think? What are the students going to think? Who's going to tell them? Leadership is the ability to hide your panic from others. I thought of the day I left the Southern Baptist Convention. I thought the Southern Baptist Convention was like the American Medical Association. You couldn't practice unless you belong. And I went home and I told Miss Hiles, I said, I'll get a job. I know I can't stay. I know I can't stay at the church. I know I can't preach anymore. But I'll preach in the jails. And by the way, I wouldn't. Don't you young preachers? Yeah, you're looking for a church somewhere. Don't you give me your resume unless you're preaching somewhere already. Oh, somebody, I'm looking for a place to preach. How about a jailhouse? How about a hospital? How about a sanatorium? How about a street corner? How about a rescue mission? And I said to Ms. Hiles, I'll get a job. I'll support you. I'll support the children.
leadership is the ability to hide your panic from others. You say, good night. My mom and dad have that little faith? Yeah. Well, you say, how can... that doesn't offer me much security. Well, in a few minutes, I'll tell you something. I thought about my mother kneeling in my bed that night that Daddy left and said, dear God, you call him to preach and I'll make him a preacher. You see, that father, the Gibraltar, on which you've leaned all these years, has fears and doubts too. Look at me, listen to me. That mother who always seemed to know what to do sometimes doesn't know what to do. That pastor who encourages and comforts you sometimes wishes he had a pastor. I was asked one day at a question-answer session, if you could live your life over, could choose anything that you want to choose that you didn't get to have, what would you choose? Now, immediately I said a close friend. I've never been able privileged to have a close friend. Because if I choose one, yes, others are offended. I said a close friend. I said number two, I'd choose a pastor. I'd love to have had a pastor. I'm saying that serene dear grandmother is often, when alone, not serene at all. She's afraid. That aged parent who is certain of heaven fears death as much as you do. That doctor who spends his time improving your health fears often for his own health and dreads his own sickness and his own death. Talking to Doc Streeter one day, and in fact, he wanted to check me. I said, I want to be checked. I said, if I want to be checked, I'll call you. You don't call me. And he said, but yeah, I said, but nothing. I'll tell you when I want to be checked. I got a hernia. The other day, Ms. Howes and I were visiting my sister, and I said, Dr. Streeter was there, and he said to my sister, it may just be, we know you have gallstones, and if there's nothing wrong with your heart, I'll just take those gallstones out. And somebody said, nothing to it, this laser surgery, just open it up and go, I said that. Just open it up and say, come on out. Ms. Howes opened her mouth and said, yeah, same thing with a hernia. But Dr. Streeter told me in secret, and I blab everything I can that told me in secret, he said, I'm just like you are. I don't want to go to a doctor. Doctors are for women anyhow, not men. That husband who works so hard to supply your needs sometimes wonder when his chest pains will come. And that preacher that convinces you that God will supply all your needs sometimes wonders if his needs will be supplied. I'm saying leadership is the ability to hide your panic from others. Dr. Garagos, who has by God's grace been used to extend many lives, sat this past week as a family member in the waiting room while his wife underwent surgery. The teacher who stands so strong and tall before you occasionally falls on his face with frustrations and doubts. The Christian who shouts the loudest about heaven frets on occasion about the vehicle of death that will transport him there. Your counselor sometimes longs for a counselor. Your daddy sometimes wishes he had a daddy. Your mother sometimes wishes she had still a mother. Your doctor sometimes needs a doctor. I was at our dentist, Dr. Thornton, and he said he had just worked on Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones, the dentist. Dentists have to go to a dentist, too. It's like you open your mouth and just do your own stuff. But you see, the truth is, I went to Dr. Thornton one time. I said, Doc, what are you going to do this afternoon? He said, I got an appointment with a doctor. I said, did dentists go to doctors? He said, sure, I don't feel very well. I'm saying that leadership is the ability to hide your panic from others. I know all you followers are very insecure right now, but you'll feel better in a few minutes. Your pastor wishes he had a pastor. The one on whom you lean longs for someone on whom he can lean. He who assures you in the storm is also afraid of the storm. The guy who tried to assure you when your loved one was ill is worried about his sister this morning. That poised lady on the front row of the choir has the same fears you have. That comforting associate pastor who stands beside you in the hospital bed has the same apprehensions that you have. That same chirpy organist over here, Gabby Colston, has the same fears that you have. And that impressive Lee Robertson has the same fears that you have. Even Jesus. You say, Brother Hiles, this morning out of the Word, Jesus in all points tempted like as we or tested like as we. Brother Hiles, I'm lonely today. It's Christmas time. I'm lonely. I'm a rescue mission man. So was he. He had no place to lay his head. You say, Brother Hiles, I feel melancholy and sad and somewhat depressed. So did Jesus. Hey, I don't care what your temptation, what your testing is, the blessed, perfect Son of God Himself felt that same feeling that you have today. You say, what's the difference? What's the difference then between a follower and leader? Leader, hear me carefully. What's the difference in a Jack Hiles and the young pastors he leads? What's the difference in a Lee Robertson and the pastors who look to him for strength? What's the difference in your daddy who offers you strength and other people? How can you feel secure after what I've said? When I said leadership is the ability to hide your panic from others, how can you feel secure? Tell you how they assure us. We keep on going. That's it. You know why you feel secure? Because I keep on going. You know why you feel this morning when I, as one little family used to sit back here and sing as I walked in the pulpit on Wednesday night after a trip on Monday and Tuesday, preaching trip Monday and Tuesday, they'd sit back there and sing, everything's all right in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. For Brother Hiles is home. And that's why that little girl, 4 or 5 years of age, sitting watching television news one day, rushed to her mother and said, Mother, call, see if Brother Hiles is in town. And the mother said, honey, why? She said, Mother, do it. I'll tell you why after you do it. I've got to know if Brother Hiles is in town. And she said, but why? The little girl said, Mama, call him now. I'll tell you after a while. I've got to know right now if Brother Hiles is in town. She said, why? I won't call. You tell me. Little girl said, because I just saw on the television news there is a tornado coming toward Hammond. Hey, Brother Hiles is in town. A tornado wouldn't dare come through Hammond. What she didn't know is I was down in the storm shelter myself at this very time. But you say, well, Brother Hiles, why is it? Because that little girl knew I'd be here next Sunday morning. That little girl knew Brother Hiles wouldn't let the storm stop him. And the difference in followers and leaders and the strength that a leader gives to a follower is leaders don't quit. They keep on going. Leaders preserved while others quit. Leaders endured while others despaired. Leaders stood while others fell. Leaders stayed while others left. Leaders fought while others surrendered. Leaders succeeded while others failed. Leaders got up while others stayed down. Leaders fought while others surrendered. Leaders worked while others rested. Leaders ran while others stopped. Leaders advanced while others retreated. Leaders encouraged while others sought encouragement. Leaders hurt, they fear, they doubt, they worry, they wonder, they pain, they panic, they fret, they dread, they're troubled, they're anxious, they're wounded, they're injured, they're scared, but they keep on going.
The only difference in Lee Robertson and the average run-of-the-mill preacher in America, thousands of them, is that he stayed when he faced the same battle that caused them to quit.
That's the difference. The leader stays when he faces the same battle that causes a follower to quit. This morning, if you're a leader, let me encourage you. I know you hurt like everybody else hurts, and I think you ought to realize that. Sometimes some of you teenagers realize your mom and dad have fears too. Time some of you folks realize that your mom and dad have burdens too. Time some of you men realize your wife has problems too. And I thank God every day I'm not a woman. Bless God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. And all that stuff. Blessed Rickerback. I probably don't watch the flattery of. Glory to God. I'm not a woman. But I want to say it's time some of you fellows realize your wife has burdens too. And she has heartaches too. And it's time some of you husbands realize, or your wives realize, your husband also has burdens and heartaches. And so does your teacher. And so does your principal. And so does your pastor. And so does your employer. And so does your president. It's time you realized it.
Name the great preachers in history, in recent history. J. Frank Norris stayed at the same church over 30 years. Read his life story sometime and see what kind of battles he faced. And then check and see how many preachers quit when they faced the same battle.
Dr. Lee Robertson, same church over 40 years. And because those of us that pass the largest churches don't go around the country whining because we got some problems. We let the younger preachers whine to us. Wonder how many times Dr. Robertson has counseled with some young preacher who needed his strength and courage and encouragement. When Dr. Robertson was crushed beneath his own load. I'm saying that the reason Charles Haddon Spurgeon was Charles Haddon Spurgeon is he didn't quit when others did who faced the same battles that he endured.
Dr. George W. Truett, same church for over 40 years. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, same church over 35 years.
Dr. G.P. Vick, same church over 35 years. Dr. Bob Gray in Jacksonville, same church over 35 years. Dr. Tom Malone in Pontiac, same church over 40 years. You want to be a leader, young men? Then don't be a quitter. You want to give strength? Then when you come to time where you despair, you doubt, you worry, you fret, and you can't do a single thing about it, bless God, there is something you can do. You can keep on going. They lived, Proverbs 24:16. A just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. A just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. Brother Colston, come in there. Here's a just man. He falls and gets back up. And falls and gets back up. And falls and gets back. I'm having more fun I've had in years. Seven times. Anybody that knows anything about the Bible knows that seven is God's number of completeness. Seven notes on a scale. 7 days in a week. Seven colors in a rainbow. Seven vials, seven thunders, seven trumpets of revelation. I'm saying seven churches in Asia Minor. Paul wrote to seven churches, his epistles to seven churches. When God said, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, God is saying, a leader, a just man, he always gets back up. I said he always gets back up. So this morning, if you gain strength from your daddy, it's not because your daddy doesn't have fears. It's because your daddy gets back up anyway. He keeps on going. He won't quit. He won't turn back. If you get strength from this preacher, it's because you've watched me for 37 and a half years. And you watch me down, but you watch me get back up. And you watch me down and watch me get back up. And you watch me down and watch me get back up. And that's why you get strength. And that's why you get courage. God's looking for some leaders today who will have the same fears that the follower has, the same doubts the follower has, the same burden the follower has, the same heartache the follower has, the same apprehension the follower has, but he will not stay down.
He keeps on going. That's the difference. The difference is not in the feeling. The difference is in the enduring. You think that mother to whom you ran or run for refuge, and you put your head in her lap. One day of the year, I miss my mother most of all. And that's the day that pastor school ends. I poured my soul and my heart into that pastor school. And now they're gone. I used to go over 167th Street, Calumet City, go to that little apartment up on the second floor Friday afternoon, put my head in my mother's lap and just cry. That father you have who gives you courage and strength, the difference in you and he and him is not you fear and he doesn't. It's not you hurt and he doesn't. It's not you're scared and he isn't. It's not you doubt and he doesn't. It's not that you're tested and hurt and he doesn't. The difference is, you know that Father is going to keep on going. You know that Father is going to keep on going. Leadership is the ability to hide your panic from others. Then many a night I've come home, take an hour to drive home just to drive around and cry so I wouldn't be weeping when I got home. Because I didn't want Miss Hiles to know the load I carried. That's what you call leadership. Never has been a leader from the Savior on down. John the Baptist, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Philip, and the other disciples. The Spurgeons, the Luthers, the Finneys, the Jonathan Edwardses, the George Truitts, the John Rices, the Lee Robertsons, the Charles Spurgeons, the G.P. Vicks. If you'll let me sneak in there a little bit undeservingly, the Jack Hileses. There's never been a preacher or a leader in this world that didn't have the same fears that you have. I don't want to die. I really don't. I'm going to heaven. And once I get through that death, don't you worry about me. While I'm dying, I want you to worry about me. And I want you to cry after I'm gone. Don't you come here in the funeral service and everybody say, everybody's taking it so well. I don't want you to take it well. I want you to throw a fit like that black lady down south. I came to her, she's eating a watermelon. And they said, your husband just died. She kept on eating her watermelon. It's a matter of priorities. They said, your husband just died. She kept on eating her watermelon. They said, aren't you going to cry? She said, yes, sir. As soon as I get through eating this watermelon, you never heard such carryings on in your life. I want you to carry on, son. No, I'm not afraid of where I'm going when I die. But I don't want to die. Talking the other day, Monty Watts had an appointment. He came in and something was said about how good heaven's going to be. And I said, I'm not sure about that. He said, what? I said, I'm not sure. I want to go. He said, why? I said, there are no sinners there. You can't win a soul to Christ. No broken hearts to mend. No marriages you can try to put back together. No fallen people you can try to lift. After about 3 minutes of me talking like that, Monty Watts looked at me and said, I don't want to go to heaven. All I'm trying to say this morning is to those of you that are leaders, let me encourage you and thank you for the cause you keep on going. You don't turn back. You don't quit. You keep on going. And let me say to those of you today who are followers, every once in a while, stop and realize that we feel like you feel. I feel exactly the same way this morning you'd feel if your sister had had chest pains and rushed to the hospital with blood pressure 200 over about 120. I feel the same way. You say, Brother Hiles, then how can we get strength? You don't get strength because a perfect person leads you. You get strength because a normal human being won't quit. That's where you get the strength. Those who endure are the strength. Those who panic and endure are the strength of those who follow. We call them leaders. The best synonym I know for them be endurers. Or maybe perseverers. Leadership is the ability to hide your panic from others. Would you bow your heads, please?